supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hoped for nothing but bounty, and from whom I feared nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. At this moment, at the beginning of this episode of today's special, I offer my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima.
Today, Saturday, is the 2nd of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of day 1399 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar and the 16th of January 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's a good time to open the Holy Quran. We'll listen to chapter Shura, verse 23.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ.
It is that of which Allah gives good tidings to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Muhammad, I do not ask you for this message any payment, but only goodwill through kinship. And whoever commits a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse is famous as verse Mawadda. It is narrated from the noble Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, that when he arrived in Medina, the pillars of the Islamic faith were fortified. The helpers, or Ansar, said, "We will go to the noble prophet and will tell him if he has financial needs." When he was informed of their offer, this verse was revealed. "Tell them that I do not expect any remuneration, but the love for my kith and kin." The noble prophet, peace be upon him and his pure family, recited the blessed verse to them and said, "Love my family after my demise."
ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
Fatimiyya means to oppose the chiefs of oppression. Fatimiyya is an era. Fatimiyya means to oppose the leaders of oppression. Fatimiyya means to wage war in order for truth to be victorious over falsehood and ultimately. Fatimiyya means the global and divinely appointed governance of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his noble advent. Yes, indeed, Fatimiyya is Ashura. Fatimiyya is the night of Al-Qadr. Fatimiyya is Qadir. Fatimiyya is the 15th of Shaban. And Fatimiyya is in its true essence the day of victory of light over darkness.
There are many lessons that we can learn from Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. One of them is that she inspires us. She inspires the men and the women to stand against injustice, to stand against tyranny. And this is exactly what she did. In her famous khutbah that is referred to as Al-Khutbah Al-Fadakiyah, the khutbah of Fadak, the sermon of Fadak. Because she talks in that khutbah about the land of Fadak that was usurped from her. It was a land that belonged to her. A land that Rasulullah gave to her. 3 years before the death of Rasulullah, he gave her a piece of land. When the establishment came to power after the death of Rasulullah, they took away that piece of land. Of course, some people, they come and they say, "Fatima, she came out and she spoke over a piece of land. Why would someone come and cause a fight and cause fitna over a piece of land?" No, it wasn't a piece of land. Fatima alayha salam, she wanted to show the world that if a government, if an establishment that wrongfully came to power, it cannot be entrusted with a piece of land, how could it be entrusted with the Khilafah? How could it be entrusted with imamah and leadership after the Prophet? She shows them that you are going against the Quran. You're going against the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And of course, in that very eloquent sermon, which is perhaps the oldest sermon recorded by any lady in history, find me a sermon as eloquent as this that goes back to a date prior to the date Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam spoke, that is written down and documented, and there were witnesses there.
Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatima wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now it's a good time to listen to some part of FedEx sermon. It's about role of Imam Ali in the defense of Islam. Whenever the polytheists kindle the fire of wars, Allah will put it out. And when the adherents of Satan would manifest themselves or the beastly ones among the polytheists open their mouth of envy, he, the Prophet of Allah, would dispatch his brother, Imam Ali, towards them. Imam Ali would crush them and extinguish the blaze of their fire with his sword. And Imam Ali bore extreme brutality in the way of Allah and strove to obey the commands of Allah. He was the nearest to the Prophet of Allah and the master of the friends of Allah. He was always ready to serve the creations of Allah, looking over the welfare of the people, endeavoring and toiling in this way, and he was not affected with the censure of any censurer. While you were living a life of pleasure and peace and were far away from the severity of battle, you were in enjoyment and security, then you waited that we, the Ahlul Bayt, may be engulfed in severity of trails and waited to hear this news. And in the heat of the battle, you retreated and fled from the battlefield.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, O son of Haider. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
As Shia Muslims and followers of the Holy Prophet, it's an obligation to know some lessons from Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam. Never trust the enemies of Islam. Sayyida Fatima, Lady Fatima alayha salam, asked certain people not to be allowed to come to her burial, and her exact burial place has been kept a secret. The Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, said, Fatima is part of me and she is my heart and the soul which is between my two sides. The Prophet said, Fatima is the joy of my heart and her sons are the fruit of my soul. It is said that prayer is like a beautiful flower, and the tasbih of Sayyida Fatima, peace be on her, gives this beautiful flower a beautiful fragrance. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabinistain. In this episode, we are going to take some lessons from the life and times and life experience of the Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. As we know, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha is the lady, the only lady, who is regarded as one of the infallibles in the list of 14 infallibles in whom we believe in Islam. And certainly, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha was a good role model, not only for all ladies, but for all people. The best description in this regard was made by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the father of Hazrat Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described in this way, that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna ibnati Fatima sayyidatu nisa'i ahl al-jannah. Certainly my daughter Fatima is the lady of all ladies in the world, in the paradise, in the divine paradise. I mean, she's the, certainly the Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha is the princess of all ladies in the divine paradise. Had there hadn't been any other description save this one, this short description is crystal clear with respect to the high and praiseworthy status of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. And elsewhere, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Hazrat Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaiha in this way: Ya Fatima, ala tardain an takuni sayyidat nisa' al-alamin wa sayyidat nisa' hadha al-umma wa sayyidat nisa' al-mu'minin. O Fatima, wouldn't you be pleased to be the princess of all ladies in the world, and the princess of the ladies of all Muslim ladies, and the princess of all believer ladies?
That was all for today's special. Thank you for being with us. Dear Muslims, keep us in your prayer too. Fi amanillah.
Ya Fatimatu Zahra, Ya Bint Muhammad, يا قرة عين الرسول، يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا، إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله، وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله، اشفعي لنا عند الله.
Food for thought.
And today, on the eve of the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us present you an excellent statement on social justice by this most noble lady. Completion of weights and measures is a cause for preventing the neglect of others' rights.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. As mentioned previously, in one of the traditions we mentioned from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, it is said that the Shia will have a specific place in paradise. In this tradition from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, again he mentions the word Shia. And again we stress upon the point here that a Shia is just not a person who believes in the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, but rather he is a person who follows the teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He follows the teachings of the other a'imma and the other imams alayhi salam. Obviously their teachings are the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which obviously as an extension is what God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wants from us. So this is something for us to keep in mind, that a Shia is not just somebody who accepts the imamate of Amir al-Mu'mineen and that's it. No, we do not have that thing of just, you know, believing in something and not acting. No, we have belief and we have actions. So here Imam Zain al-Abidin in this tradition is again a very beautiful tradition, and it shows that, you know, striving in this world against the believers is something good, again with the correct intention. For this intention that the Imam is mentioning here. And of course there must be certain, I'll put inverted commas, regulations that must be followed. So Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is reported to have said that, "O our followers, our Shia, as for paradise, it will not escape you. Sooner or later you will get it, sooner or later you will enter into paradise, wherever that may be, by our intercession maybe, or by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the love you had for us, Allah will show mercy upon you." Many different reasons. But it's the next part that is important. The Imam Zain al-Abidin continues and says that, "But do compete with each other to attain stations therein." That in order for you to get a higher station in paradise, compete with your brother in doing good, in doing activities that will strengthen the Shia community, will strengthen the Muslim community, and as an extension obviously strengthen the human race. As a person who is a Muslim, rather a person who is a Shia, should be one who is beneficial to all of those around him, whether he Muslim or not. This is something we need to understand. So this competing in doing good is competing with the intention of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore you will see there will be no jealousy. Yes, there might be, you know, ghibta, which again is a very difficult word to translate into English, meaning that you will want to have what that person has and you will strive to have it in the correct way. This is what this competing can do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to compete for the stations in the right way, with the right intentions as well, inshaAllah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Dear audience, stay tuned. Francis Joseph Stengas was a British linguist and Orientalist of German Jewish descent. He completed his education, including the PhD, in Munich, Germany. Later, he was professor of modern languages at Birmingham, professor of modern languages, literature, and law at the Oriental Institute, Woking. He knew 14 languages, including Arabic, Persian, and Sanskrit. He published a number of Persian English, Arabic English, and English-Arabic dictionaries. Here is Dr. Stengas' quote from Dictionary of Islam. Here, therefore, its merits as a literary production should perhaps not be measured by some preconceived maximizes of subjective and aesthetic taste, but by the effects which is produced in Muhammad's contemporaries and fellow countrymen. If it spoke so powerfully and convincingly to the hearts of his hearers as to weld hitherto centrifugal and antagonistic elements into one component and well-organized body animated by ideas far beyond those which had until now ruled the Arabian mind, then its eloquence was perfect simply because it created a civilized nation out of savage tribes and shot a fresh wolf into the old warp of history. Dear audience, now we invite you to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Duha as well as the first verse of Surah Al-Sharh recited by Sheikh Abdul Warith Abdul Aziz.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Duha, as well as Surah Al-Inshirah, or Al-Sharh, verse 1, by Sheikh Abdul Warith Abdul Aziz. Now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى. The reciter says والضحى instead of والضحى. Why is that? It's because he's reciting in another riwayah. This is the riwayah of Warsh. If you say والضحى, that would be Warsh. If you say والضحي, that would be the riwayah of the qira'ah of Hamza. It could be either the riwayah of Khalaf on Hamza or Khalad on Hamza. Both of them have imala, while Warsh has taqlil, which means the aliful mad is more than the ya'ul mad. But for imala, it's half-half. The Aliful Mad and the Ya'ul Mad are 50-50. 50% Aliful Mad, 50% Ya'ul Mad. So it's Wadduhi for Imala. It's Wadduhi for Taqlil. Wallayli Idha Saje. All of these are Taqlils. And when do we apply these Taqlils? It is when we have Zawatul Ya. The Ya'atu Zaida or Zawatul Ya. It means whenever the ya is basically just a base for alif, aliful mad, and the ya is not pronounced. So it becomes zaid, it's extra, it's excessive, the excessive ya. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلَّاخِرَةُ. Okay, now in this phrase, what's going on? Naql is taking place. It means that whenever you have a sakin letter followed by a hamza, okay, the haraka of the hamza is transferred to the previous letter, which is the sakin letter, and you pronounce, and the hamza is no longer pronounced. Like a hamzatul qat'a. Wala lakhira. So it's like you're saying wala lakhiratu. Khayru laka minalula. Minalula. Again here we have the naql. Just like wala lakhira. and ule, actually not ule, it's ule. ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. Again, the ya zawatul ya, we have zawatul ya here, or ya zaida, where this ya is not pronounced. Instead, it's the aliful mad that is pronounced. The ya is not a ya'ul mad, so it's excessive, and that's why taqlil takes place again. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى. ألم يجدك, we have قلقلة of dal here. يجدك يتيما فآوى. Unfortunately, we don't have time to continue, inshallah, in the next programs. We will analyze other great recitations by reciters from all over the Islamic world.
كتاب الله كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the reasons that the Holy Quran was the miracle of the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is because the Arabs of that time loved, you know, beautiful statements. They loved statements that had what is called balagha or rhetoric, eloquence in it. And we can see this in some of the narrations that show that the Arabs had certain statements amongst themselves. So one of the statements that the Arabs have was, Al-Qatl anfa lil-Qatl, that killing negated killing. Basically what they meant to say is that killing itself stopped killing. But this was not something that was, you know, really relevant to them. If someone had to really read Islamic history, they would see that they killed and then more killing took place. So the Holy Quran in Surah Baqarah, the 179th verse of this blessed surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with a verse and says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتٌ, that in retribution, and for you in retribution, there is life, there is hayat. So the Arabs, once hearing this verse from the Holy Prophet and from the revelation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, abandoned the first saying and attached themselves to this saying, this saying of the Holy Quran. Because it was something that was beautiful. For them, it was something that had great eloquence to it. And it's also something that was better than their statement. Obviously, you know, a rational person, if it's nothing, obviously a person with some intellect, with some rationality, would say, okay, something that is better, I should accept it, I should take it, I should use it in my daily life. So we can see that some of the better points, or some of those points that make this statement more superior than the previous one, are this. This has been mentioned in some of the books. For example, it is saying that killing itself does not stop killing. This is what we notice. Like, killing may itself just bring more killing. But the verse is not saying that. The verse is saying that no, qisas is that particular thing that brings life. Qisas is that thing that will stop killing. Not just killing itself. And of course, in Islamic rulings, qisas has different types and can mean different instances. So those are the first thing. The second one is that the important thing for the Arabs in their statement was for life to continue. That statement of killing negates killing itself did not signify life. It did not signify something that was good. However, the verse of the Holy Quran signifies life, signifies, you know, an existence, something that is good, something that, you know, a person can continue with. Or life itself is something that is worth having, whereas killing is not something that is worth having. So this is the second point that some mentioned. But the third point is a very beautiful point. It is something that, you know, the Arabs themselves found very much attractive to them. Is that in Arabic language, repeating something in any language, for example, to repeat the word again in the same sentence, you know, brings the quality of that sentence down. So here they use the word qatl or murder twice.
But in saying something on a higher and a more superior manner, the Holy Quran brings a verse that in it there is no repetition whatsoever. The word qisas and the word hayat, retribution and life. And the Holy Quran gives this to us as individuals, as Muslims. And this is one of the rulings of Islam. And the Arabs themselves, by the eloquence and rhetoric of this verse, you know, it pulled them towards it. It pulled them towards the light of the Holy Quran. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يوه بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
منبر. A lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, please accept our condolences on the martyrdom of Lady Fatima alayha salam. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Afzal Mirali.
My lecture today is regarding the word Fatir and how the name of Sayyidah Zahra, Fatima, is derived from it. Because many people in general would think that Fatir, it ends with a Ra or an A in English. How is it possible for Fatima, which ends with a Meme in the end, or an M, how is it possible for this to be derived from that? What is going on? At that, I will mention a few introductory points, after which we will enter to this discussion. It says in the book Tafsir al-Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, or that which is ascribed to Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. So this narration is mentioned, Imam al-Askari alayhi salam goes in quoting in that golden chain, he quotes from Imam, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, the Holy Prophet says, that know, O servants of Allah, that when Adam salamullahi alayhi, when Adam lamma ra'a an-nura sati'an min sulbi, after Allah created Adam, he saw that in his back there was a bright light. And the Holy Prophet says, this was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had moved, had now taken our bright lights, or our ghosts, or our souls, and he had put them, he had taken them from the arsh, from the highest point of the arsh, of the throne of Allah, and he had casted them into the back of Adam. Adam alayhi salam saw that light, and he saw different people appearing, but he did not know them. He could not identify them. At that, the Holy Prophet says, as he continues in this narration, Adam alayhi salam then turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, Ya Rabbu ma hadhihi al-ashbah. Oh Allah, I see this bright light, and I see that these seem to be people. Who are these people whom I don't know? Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are these people? Adam salamullah alayhi. Allah responds to Adam. And he tells him that, oh Adam, these are the ghosts or the souls of the best of my creation. This is Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. And he, this of course, the praiseworthy. And I am Al-Mahmud, the most praiseworthy in my actions. I have derived a name for him from my name, Al-Mahmud Al-Hamid. Secondly, this is Ali, and I am Al-Ali Al-Azim or Al-Ali Al-Azim. I have given him this name Ali. I have derived it for him from my name. According to other narrations, this is Ali and I am Al-A'la. And I am Al-A'la, the most high. This is the high and I am the highest. Thirdly, وَهَذِهِ فَاطِمَةً. And this is Fatima. وَأَنَا فَاطِرُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. I am Fatir of the words, of the heavens, of the skies and the earth. I am the creator. And look at this connection now. The Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will come back to later on. فَاطِمُ أَعْدَائِي عَنْ رَحْمَتِي. I am the one who has cut off my enemies from my mercy. Which when on the day when I will rule amongst people or I will judge. Secondly, وَفَاطِمُ أَوْلِيَائِي عَمَّا يَعْتَرِيهِمْ وَيَسُوءُهُمْ. And I am the person and I also cut off everything that displeases my awliya and all the troubles that my special servants and my friends and those who love me face. I cut them off from them. فَشَقَقْتُ لَهَا إِسْمًا مِّنْ إِسْمِي. At that I derived a name for her from my name. And then he says, وَهَذَا الْحَسَنُ وَهَذَا الْحُسَيْنُ. And this is Al-Hasan, this is Al-Husayn. And I am Al-Muhsin Al-Mujmil, the one who does good. وَمِنِّي الْإِحْسَانُ. And I am the person from whom Ihsan, good doing, comes. It returns back to. I am the source of all that is good. So I have derived two names for them from my name. These are the best of creations, the most honorable of my creations. And through them I will judge people and I will punish people. And through them as well, and because of them, I will grant thawab and reward to people. At that, in this narration, if we look at it a little bit, we will find that Mahmud, Muhammad. If we look at Ali, Al-A'la. Al-Hasan, Qadim Al-Ihsan, or Al-Muhsin, if you wish. Minni Al-Ihsan, yani the source of Al-Ihsan, Hussein. طيب, if we look at the name Fatima, just like the title suggests, we find that the name Fatima, it is a little bit different in the end. So this name stands out. Fatara or Fatir and Fatima. How are these two connected? Fatara means to split linguistically, just to keep it short. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Yani when the sky is split, it is divided. Fatara, it also means to tear something, to rip it apart. In the Arabic dictionaries, فَطَرَ الثَّوْبِ, or when فَطَرَ الثَّوْبِ, it means for it to be torn, to be cut. Fatama also means to cut something. Now, Fatama means to cut something from something else, from a source, from a supplier. The new child, or the child that is nursing, in the Arabic language we say, فَطَمْتُ الصَّبِي. Okay? I have weaned the child. I have cut him off from drinking from his mother's milk, from nursing from the mother. Okay? So in general, in essence, there is a similarity in meaning. Either to rip something or to take somebody away from something. To rip them away from a source. Okay? This is a general similar meaning. Now, we go back to some of the narration that we said. Fatima alayhi salam. The word Fatima means the one who is the cutter, who cuts somebody away from something. Who separates somebody or herself from something else. And the one who takes care of the guardian of Hashiyas. According to narrations, of course, Sayyida Zahra alayhi salam, she protects and guards Hashiyas and those who love her from the fire. In another narration, our Imam Al-Husayn Salamullahi Alayh, he says that, do you know why that my mother was called Fatima? Because she is cut away from evil. She is infallible. She does not commit any evil. Now, in general then, what we can understand is that Fatima Salamullahi Alayha, if you would allow me to go just a little bit deeper. Why are Shias and those who love Fatima Salamullahi Alayha cut off from the hellfire, or that evil of the hellfire? This is because of the fact that in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the heavens, He created them according to certain creational laws, existential laws. Khair? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the skies in a system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put certain laws over there. One of them will be related to when the day of Qiyamah comes, that He will split the skies. The event will be such that the skies will not be able to bear. They will be ripped apart. The lover of Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha, normally what happens is that a person, when they commit a mistake, when they commit a sin, if they don't do istighfar, if they are persistent, or if they hate Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim, ma'adallah, their reality, the reality of their soul will have reached such a stage that they will require purification. That purification, if the other things in life, balas, musibat, calamities, afflictions, the adab in barzakh is not enough to purify them, then that reality will only be suitable for the hellfire. It cannot enter the Jannah. There is no suitability. Secondly, there is a need, a necessity for purification. Just like a dirty thing which you need to take to the basin and you need to clean it up, you need to wash it, correct? That soul has become dirty. It requires, it becomes pure, impure. It needs to be purified. However, the love of Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha is such that a person who has this love, existentially, it is a factor that leads to such impurities being wiped away from the soul. It leads to these impurities being wiped away from the soul. It leads to these impurities being erased to the extent that on the day of Qiyamah, on the one hand, it is an innate factor, a factor in your soul, that a person who truly loves Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, he won't commit any sins. But let's say he does not have true 100% love, and there is a small space for shaitan to come and whisper in their heart, and they do commit mistakes, and they do commit sins. This love is such that it wipes away the athar and the traces of that sin. To the extent that if it is not enough for this love, it is not to that extent, for the love is not that much that it can wipe off these sins over here. On the day of Qiyamah, this love will be like a calling factor, like a pager, like something that gives that message to Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha, that she will know the light in your heart. It will be such that it will call a Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha. She will know that this is a person who had my love. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I intercede for them. Please do not send them to Jahannam. Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. However, it should not be such that this love of Sayyidah Zahra salamullahi alayha leads us to commit mistakes deliberately. Okay, according to the narrations, لا تنال شفاعتنا مستخفا بالصلاه, for instance, or a person, our shafa'ah will not be attained, or it will not touch a person who deliberately they take salah lightly, for example. Okay? We have to abide by the apparent tenets and the apparent rights of Islam. Of course, in general, there was another even deeper connection that I wanted to mention, but unfortunately our time is short.
لك يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء.
لك يا مولاتي نشأت كلماتي يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء يا وسيلتنا وشفيعتنا فاطم الزهراء فاطم الزهراء
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان
لا إله إلا
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic Beliefs from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to us from the holy city of Qom. In this series of shows, we're trying to answer some doubts and misconceptions regarding theological issues. For these calls, we have invited Islamic researcher and scholar Sheikh Murtada Karimi to the studio to help us to answer the